Today's presenter is Robin Rouse. Robin came aboard to run a support organization at Data Power 6 months after they were acquired by IBM. Robin is responsible for the operations of Level 2 support as well as the integration of Data Power into the greater IBM support infrastructure. Robin has grown the Data Power support team from 3 support engineers at the time of acquisition to 16 worldwide, currently on board growing to 24 this year. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Robin.
Thank you, Elijah. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on where you are on the globe right now or where you are when you're listening to the rebroadcast. I'd like to move on to slide 2 for the agenda. What we're going to talk about today is an overview of what the appliance model is now that we're part of IBM and how it's supported, what the warranty is on the Data Power appliance, the various levels of support and what they mean to you, the Data Power customer, how hardware replacements are handled. I'm going to review with you all the support contacts and resources to expedite your gaining support for your Data Power device. And we'll also review an offering that we have for Data Power customers of premium support. So if we could move on to slide 3.
Before you go to the next chart, if you cannot join the evening meeting, you can still access the presentation by going to IBM.com and typing 701-1767, search box at the very top of the page. Technical document with the PDF file with display. Thank you. I'll turn the presentation back to Robin.
Thanks, Elijah. So I'd like to start with the appliance model at IBM on slide 3. Data Power, as some of you may know, was IBM's first ever appliance. And there are now many more appliances in the pipeline being developed at IBM. What's unique about an appliance as opposed to a server or a piece of software is that the firmware and the hardware of an appliance are treated as a single entity. I like to use the analogy of a TiVo or an iPod or a GPS device where you think of it as one continuous device, that you don't think of a TiVo as software and hardware. It is one thing, or an iPod. It is one thing. And so, therefore, it's new in IBM that we create a support team to support this single entity. Many people, when you're especially established IBM customers, are used to buying a piece of hardware, like a server or a laptop or a personal computer, and taking a warranty on that, a service contract or a warranty on that hardware, and then having separate software installed on that piece of hardware. Again, an appliance is different in that the hardware and the firmware are intrinsically linked. There's no other software that can run on this hardware, and there's no other hardware that can run this firmware. They are a single entity, and therefore one support contract supports the entire device. One of the challenges that a lot of new Data Power customers find is that they look to the hardware division to support the hardware piece, and they look to the software division to support the software piece. In this organization, this appliance happens to live in the software organization, but it is not supported as software. Again, it's a new model. It's a new paradigm. It is an appliance. So moving on to slide 4, what that means is, again, these are terms and conditions that you are going to see that are really an amalgamation of what it looks like to have a single unit. So it's going to be much different than you're used to seeing on hardware warranty and support contracts, and it's going to be a different paradigm, a different model than you're used to seeing on software warranty and support. So the warranty itself on this product is a 3-month warranty. That is if you do not buy a support contract at the time that you purchase the device. And what the warranty alone period gives you is 5-day-a-week support, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time, email or phone. And the hardware replacement terms and conditions, if there is a hardware defect failure, there is a 2-day hardware replacement shipment. So when you call up and we diagnose the problem as hardware, you will get a replacement device within 2 business days. And the firmware piece of the warranty period is that you have bug fixes and firmware upgrades for a 3-month period. Now, rarely do we have customers who simply work off the warranty. Almost everybody purchases a support contract at the time of purchase. A support contract is both an upgrade to the warranty and an extension of the time period. So if we move on to slide 5, there are 3 levels of service contract that are offered to IBM customers. The names in quotes, silver, gold, and platinum, that you will see are legacy from the acquisition, pre-acquisition names of the types of support contract, and you will hear us refer to those. We've sort of affectionately held on to them. But the silver, which is the lowest level of support contract you can buy, it is available in 1-year or 3-year periods. It gives you access to the support team 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, and this is the 12x5 that you see at the top, and also the hardware replacement terms are 2 days. Like the warranty, if a hardware failure is determined, you will get a replacement device within 2 business days. Now, that 12x5 is email or telephone support, and I will go more into detail on what that email and telephone support means. The 2-day hardware replacement, all bug fixes and firmware upgrades for the period of the contract, again, 1 or 3 years. It's important to note that all the times that I will be giving you are in Eastern Standard Daylight Savings Time. So you will be able to convert those to what that means in your own time zone. The thing about the silver contract is that there is no 24/7 emergency call-out support. So it is during business hours support only. The gold contract gives you an upgrade to the silver contract in that it adds the 24/7 emergency support, and it also reduces it upgrades the hardware replacement terms from two business days to 1 business day. And if we can move on to slide 6, we'll take a look at, looks like we lost the platinum support. I'll just tell you, it's fallen off the slide, but we also have a platinum support. Platinum support is an upgrade to the gold support. It upgrades the hardware replacement. You get all the terms, the 24/7 emergency call out. You get all the terms and conditions of the gold. But in addition, you upgrade your hardware replacement to a 24/7, 4-hour on-site replacement. So, in other words, when a hardware replacement is deemed necessary, we call a CE who will pick up a device that's stored within 4 hours of your place of business. They will actually deliver it to your IT center, wherever the data powered devices are stored, are installed, and they will rack it for you. They will not configure it, but they will rack it for you. And that's within 4 hours average, 24/7. I will tell you, because we do stock the depots with the devices at the time you purchase them, we go by what's called the ship-to address. So the address to which the devices have been shipped is what we use for the logistics process to stock those replacement devices in advance. If you are not installing the devices at the same address that they have been shipped to, I know a lot of large customers have them shipped to a central place and then distribute them from there, you must contact support and your account rep to let us know where the installed address is for each of your devices and their serial numbers. If we do not have the correct install that address and serial number of the device, then it voids the 4-hour average replacement. Okay, so moving on to slide 6. Whoops, back one, please, Elijah, too fast. This slide talks about hardware replacement, and it's important that we spend a little bit of time on this slide because I'd like everybody to really have the appropriate expectations around hardware replacement. And again, this is fairly unique in my experience. I've been with IBM now for 15 years, and this is fairly unique to the appliance model. We have a very, very low hardware replacement rate, hardware failure rate. Our hardware failure rate is actually less than 2%, which means that 98% of all the reported problems that come in actually turn out to be firmware-related and not hardware-related. And the problem comes in is that some of those things manifest themselves to look like hardware-related problems. The most common one would be the machine rebooting itself. 98% of the time, that actually turns out to be a firmware issue and not a hardware issue. And the problem with replacing a device before the problem determination is complete is that if, in fact, it is either a firmware or the other possibility is an environmental issue, something else interacting with the data-powered device, we can ship you a new device, we can ship you 10 new devices, but if it's not actually a hardware problem, you are going to continue to have the same issue with the replacement devices. So it's in your best interest for us to do the full due diligence problem determination first before we decide that it is a hardware failure. That usually takes about 24 hours to run the test for a complex problem and about 5 minutes to run the test for a simple problem. So we do, in fact, have a couple of simple hardware failures. We can look at the error message that the box is putting out. We know, in fact, it is a hardware failure, and we will replace the box immediately. There are other problems that are complex and deep down in the core of the code, and those do take us a little longer to do the problem determination. Again, we go through this trouble not because we're not willing to replace the hardware or we don't want to replace the hardware, but because we don't want you to get a new piece of hardware and have the same exact problem. It's not helpful for you. So just to let you know, we will go through the due diligence. It does take, sometimes up to 24 hours to run all the cases, test cases that we need to determine that a box is what we call non-field recoverable, or NFR. Once we do determine that a box is non-field recoverable, that is the time when we will, in fact, initiate the box replacement, and that is when that 2-day, 1-day, 4-hour clock starts ticking. You should know what level of support you have, silver, gold, platinum, or warranty, and so you should know what your expectation is to get your new device. For warranty, silver, and gold, 4 o'clock in country is the cutoff for that 24 or 48-hour clock to start ticking. If the problem determination pushes out past 4 p.m., your local time, then that is considered the next day is when we will initiate the box replacement. Okay, moving on to slide 7. This is very, very important because, again, this is very different than anything else you're going to see in IBM that involves hardware and firmware. We are supported by one worldwide team. My team runs the support for both the hardware and the firmware. It is one worldwide support team. Right now, my team is based in the critical mass of my team is based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I have a few people based in Raleigh, North Carolina, I have a few people based in Böblingen, Germany, and we're working on right now trying to get a future base in somewhere in AP, in Asia Pacific. We're trying to grow the team even since that bio was written when this presentation was made a few weeks ago. We've now expanded the team again to 20. We will have 24 by June and possibly 28 by the end of the year. So the team is growing to meet the needs of the customer demand. It's important for you guys to have my email address, which is here on slide 7. If you have any problems, questions, if you get stuck, if you get misrouted, if your calls aren't coming to my team or your emails, please do email me. Again, this is unique in IBM. We're fairly new in IBM. We're 2 years into IBM, but there are still a lot of people in organizations, for example, 1-800-IBM-SERV, who aren't familiar with the appliance model and data power. So it's important to reach out your questions to either myself or your account rep. I have a very close relationship with the account reps for all the customers, and they, too, know how to get in touch with me, and all of them have my cell phone number. Again, here's a little bit different part for you guys, for especially established IBM customers. The main way to access data power support is via email. The email address is csupport@us.ibm.com. Now, it's very, very important, especially for IBM customers, previous IBM customers, to understand we do not have access to electronic ticket submission at this time. That is either ESR or ESC Plus. Neither one of those is hooked up to our system right now. There's a very long history of this. We've been working on it since the time of the acquisition. Again, it has to do with the appliance model and treating this as a single entity, but at this time, there is no access to any electronic ticket submission or for you to access your PMRs online. I promise you we have every available resource working on making the changes to the infrastructure that are needed to make that happen, and I think you will see it coming in 2008, possibly by Q3 or 4. But we are definitely working on it right now. The analogy that I use is it's like when IBM moved from typewriters to personal computers. There are some sea changes that are required in the architecture of the infrastructure that need to make that work. We're not selling typewriter ribbons anymore. And we have the same thing here. We have an appliance. We have a new model. So we need a change in the infrastructure to support that. I will tell you, I know it's a hardship to not be able to access your own PMRs and watch your own PMRs on the web. I will tell you, if there's a bright side to that, if there's an offset to that, that for a lot of our customers that I've been working with for the last 2 years, the csupport@us.ibm.com gets you access directly to my team. It comes into my team's mail inbox, and everybody sees it, including me. I read almost every piece of support email that comes through, and believe me, there's a huge volume. But it gets you a lot of visibility. We do not have, again, as a result of the infrastructure, we don't have a level 0 or a level 1 team. My team, which is supposed to be a level 2, a technical point of escalation, actually answers all the emails, and again, I have to say, I know it's small compared to not being able to access your PMRs, but it is a great benefit to you to have direct access to my team. When you open up a support ticket, what we ask is that you do it as if you were opening a PMR online. You use the subject line for a brief description of the problem. In the body of the email, before you give the full description and attach any artifacts that need to be attached, it is important that you include your customer number if you have it, the serial number of the device. Again, this is where we take up a little bit more towards the hardware model, which is that the serial number of the device, which is the number, it is linked to your support contract. Unlike software, which is linked to your customer number for Passport Advantage, the hardware is linked to the serial number. And in order to meet the, you know, the ISO 9000 and all the, you know, global standard practices, we must entitle you to support before we can help you. So, unfortunately, it gets a little silly sometimes. You know, you email in a question that says, what color is the device? And we have to email you back and say, we need your serial number for entitlement so we can open your PMR. So it is important that you include that. That is, again, an audit point for us to make sure that you are actually entitled to support before we open the PMR for you. We ask you to give a brief description of the problem and your contact information and the severity of the issue. And I'll show you in the software handbook where to set the severity, what definitions to use. The best way to give us the top-level information is to do what's called a show version on the screen. Just screen scrape that and put it into the top part of the email before you start with the detailed description, and that will expedite the opening of a PMR for you. I will tell you that email is monitored just as if we were on the phone. There is a finite time when email is monitored. So it is only monitored from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Again, that's Eastern Standard Daylight Savings Time. So if you send in an email at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, nobody will see it until the next morning. Now, the team in Global, even though we're really open theoretically from 8 a.m., the team in Bobligan will pick up anything that's in the queue from the night before. So it's not really technically 8 a.m. that we open, but officially 8 a.m. is when we start monitoring the email queue. If you have 24 by 7 issue, the only way to deal with that is through the phone, and I will show you where the contact phone numbers are. You call up. I have, just like your doctor, I have a 24/7 emergency answering service that will take your call, determine that you have an emergency, and patch the call through to what we call the duty programmer. And if you have an emergency at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, you feel free to call. My guys carry a cell phone on a weekly rotation. Don't feel bad about calling them in the middle of the night because that's what they're getting paid for. And the week after they carry that duty phone, I give them an extra day off. So, you know, if you have to get them out of bed at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, just do it. That's what they're getting paid for. Moving on to slide 8. If you do need to call us by phone, you can use this 1-800-IBM-SERVE. I do recommend that you use the numbers that are on the website instead, our specific Data Power numbers that get you directly to my answering service. However, if you forget them or you're not in front of your computer, you can call IBM Serve. Obviously, there's no E on the end of it. Sorry about that typo. And then what you have to do, or any of the global IBM Serve numbers, is you press 1 3 times for hardware. It'll say, the first menu choice is, do you have a hardware or software problem? You say you have a hardware problem. They ask you if it's a new ticket. You say, yes, it's a new ticket. They ask you if you want to talk to the support. You say, yes. So 1 3 times, and then it will ask you to put in your machine type. It will say, have your machine type and serial number handy. It will not ask you for the serial number. It will ask you for the machine type, which is 7993, and once you put that in, it will actually route your call to my answering service. Again, much more direct, just to call my answering service directly, and I will show you how to get to those resources. Now, at this time, I'm actually going to take you off the slides for a moment if you want to, and what I'm going to show you is if you go to that website, ibm.com/software/integration/data-power/support, I will show you where to find some of these resources. I will also tell you, I know many of you like to find things via Google. If you Google search for IBM support, the right website will not come up. Our knowledge engineer, Gene Collins, is working with Google to make that happen. If you actually forget this URL for the support site, or you know, you're not at your own computer where there's a bookmark, what I recommend is that you go to www.ibm.com, not Google, and at ibm.com you do a search for data power support on the ibm.com homepage. And when you do that search for data power support, the very first link that comes up is our data power support homepage. Please do bookmark this. It's an important resource to know about. Everything we need to tell you is on this website. The first three, if you go to the website, and again, at this point I'm going to give you a little tour of the website and show you these things. And so if you're following along, that's great. If not, please do this at your convenience. At the top of the website, you will find what's called flashes. These are what we consider to be high priority or important, pressing information for our customers to know. Now, you can see all flashes if you click on the All Flash link, but the three most important ones we push to the top. So, and we can also make them sticky. For example, this education one has been up there for quite a while, but now we're going to bump it out with other important flashes. These can be anything from announcements of events to new resources available to you to critical problems and patches to errors that we're seeing customers having problems with. Anything like that we're going to put up here in the flash. And you can actually sign up, and I certainly recommend you do, to sign up for my support, which is going to give you actually delivery to your mailbox a notification when anything is posted up here. Now, unfortunately, setting up my support isn't as simple as you or intuitive as you might hope, but if you see about the middle of the support page, there's a search bar. It says search support for this product. And if you type in my support, two words, and do a search, what you'll see is the very first hit that comes back is a tech note called Receive Weekly Email Support for Data Power SOA Appliances from My Support and How to Register. And trust me on this, guys, you want to print this one out. It's got a lot of screenshots and choices and pull-down boxes that you're going to need to make that I'm embarrassed to say are not as intuitive as we would like them. But I do recommend strongly that everybody do print that out and sign up for my support. Moving down the website, you will also see our troubleshooting guide for solving a problem, the must gather, which is an important document that tells you the type of artifacts that we'll be looking for when you open up a support ticket. And then what I think is probably the greatest resource for Data Power customers, which is the Developer Works Forum. And if you click on the link for the Developer Works Forum, it will take you. Everybody is free to post on here. It is monitored by the group who, I have to say, in my opinion, is probably the most knowledgeable group about Data Power, which is the technical sales team. My team does read through it. There are developers who read through it and answer questions. But this is just a tremendous resource. Remember that support is a break-it-fix-it organization. So we're here to help you when something is broken and not working. I'm trying to do this, and I'm getting this error message, or this is not working. We are not a consulting organization. We don't handle best practices or what's the best way to do X, Y, or Z, or even, you know, how do I do X, Y, and Z if I want to use A, B, and C. But this forum is definitely the place to do that. And so I do recommend that you not only participate in it, post to it, but that you participate in it. As customers, feel free to answer questions and fully become a member of the Data Power community. The other thing that you will find on this on our website is there will be a link up soon, a tech note, a flash for our new red books. Our red papers. They are in draft form right now. If you go to and available to you, if you go to www.redbooks.ibm.com and go to the draft section and do a search for Data Power, you will find four new red papers in draft. There are four parts, including an overview of and getting started, authentication and authorization, XML security guide, and management and governance. I will tell you, my team has reviewed all four of these and have said that they are going to be extremely helpful to our customers. So I thoroughly recommend everybody take advantage of that resource. The other thing that you'll find on our website is the tech notes. Again, an important place to go and search and you can put in an error message that you're receiving. I would put in a very small snippet of unique words. The dirty little secret of IBM search is that it is an implied quote search. So that if you put in, for example, Robin Rouse, it would only return documents to you where Robin Rouse was found in that exact form, as if it were in quotes. It will not return anything that where it's found Robin. And then it will not return anything where it's found Rouse, and it will certainly not return anything where Robin whose last name is Rouse would never be returned because it's not a quoted phrase. So it is important to use as many Boolean terms as you can. Search Robin and Rouse, search Robin or Rouse. Try not to put a phrase together too frequently because you're likely not to get a good hit rate because of the implied quote. The other thing that's important for me to, and unfortunately we've gotten a lot of feedback that this information is too buried, and so Gene and I are going to try to work on figuring out how to do this better, but there is an important link about the middle of the page under the assistance piece which says contact support. And if you make that link, all the contact information is there. We do, again, request that original problem is sent to us via email. Now, at any given time, if the email back and forth becomes frustrating or the iterative process is not moving along at the pace that you're at, that you would like, you are welcome to send in an email on the case and ask the support engineer to call you. I will tell you right now that if you ask a support engineer for his phone number or her phone number, they are instructed not to give that out. And I will tell you the reason for that. It's not that I'm protecting them or I don't trust you with their phone number. I am actually protecting you, the customer, because that support engineer could have to leave at any moment and turn your case over to someone else. And if you're calling their desk phone, that you're just going to, I will tell you, even right now, we had a very sad, unfortunate death in one of our support engineer's families, and he had to leave town very quickly. And there are other people now who have all stepped up to take over his cases. But if you're still trying to call his desk phone, you're not going to get him. So we don't give out the desk phones, but if you say, I want you to call me, give them the number. They will call you. They will pick up the phone and call you immediately. Everybody reads the email. It is a general mail queue. So whoever's picked up that that case for that support engineer will see the email, and they will pick up the phone and call you. I will tell you, unless you have an emergency, it's really not worth it to call the call center to open a PMR. Because what happens is you call the call center, my answering service, they will take all the information from you, but all they will do is send me an email. So you can cut out the middleman by just sending the email yourself, and then if you want to call back, say, please call me back immediately, and whoever takes that case will take the phone number and call you back. If you do need to call support in a 24/7 emergency situation, there is, again, the 24/7 support line about halfway down the page. If you make that link, we have had a lot of feedback. It's misleading because it does take you to something called the How to Buy page. But that was the place where all the phone numbers were living at the time. So we are going to try to change that. But if you scroll down from that page, the top numbers are the sales numbers. But as you scroll down, you will see all the support numbers. And as we get more countries online, we will be adding more phone numbers. And if you are in a country where you don't see a phone number here for your country, please email us and let us know that you need a phone number set up in your country. We are expanding these as sales requires. We don't want to spend money setting up worldwide phone numbers in countries where we have no customers right now. That's just a waste of money. So as customers come online, we are setting up the phone numbers. So again, please let us know. And again, all that does is it gets you to my 24/7 answering service, who then sends an email follow-up. The other thing I want to just briefly point your attention to on the main support page is something called the Support Handbook. That is a general document for all of Software Group, the division that we work for. The important part in there is that it will give you a definition of the severities to use. I will tell you that IBM's policy is that severity is in the eyes of the beholder. We just ask that you, you be honest and you understand that, something that might be very important to you but is not a production down situation, that you might be bumping somebody who actually has a production down situation, and you certainly want the same thing done for you. So if you're not in production and, it is a serious problem, but not something that has a high business impact, you're not losing revenue, we do ask that you set your severity appropriately, because we are going to have people who unfortunately will have production down, high business impact, and we prioritize that work by severity. Okay, so I will tell you that, again, our forum up there is probably the best forum monitored by the best people in Data Power. I will tell you that if you go out and Google search, you will find other forums. There are forums that are out there from business partners and ad hoc forums that have been started. I just want you to know that a lot of them are using the IBM logo and the IBM trademarks, but the DeveloperWorks forum is the only IBM-sanctioned forum. That is the forum that IBM is running and is monitored by the Data Power technical sales support and services team. Okay, moving on to slide 9. I did want to just take a minute to do a pitch for premium services. Premium services is probably the most worthwhile upgrade to support you can do. Premium services gets you a lot more personalized attention. You have either a premium support manager or a premium support analyst who's actually assigned to you, to your customer. They will help you oversee and manage your PMRs. There'll be an interface for you with level 2 support. They have a direct line, even more so than my organization, to product management and the sales team. They do much more with proactive support. We put a flash up there and hope that people see it or have signed up for my support. If you are a premium support customer, they will get on the phone, they will call you, they will make sure that you know of proactive situations that you can do. There are levels of remote on-site on-demand that you're entitled to when you purchase different levels of premium support. They will come on site. They will do a certain amount of consulting and research on some best practices for you. There's a premium support portal and premium support newsletter that you're entitled to. It's just I can't even begin to tell you, for large customer deployments, premium support is really the most worthwhile place you can spend your money to get that level of personal assistance and personal support and have somebody who's watching over all of your bugs. Remember that for basic support, what you get is, at any given time, the email, cases are assigned in a queue rotation. So at any given time, you could be working with, depending on how, if you have five PMRs, you could be working with five different support engineers. It's however your PMR comes up in the load balancing in the queue. When you have premium support, you have a single point of focus to help you manage those five different support engineers who are working on your five different problems and can also look at trends and correlations between those. So I urge you all to really consider premium support as an upgrade to your support contract. Again, I can't emphasize enough how worthwhile it is. Moving on to slide 10. I just want to give you a little idea of what's in it for the roadmap. We are hoping to get into, to make the improvements to the infrastructure that are required to get in for electronic submission. Again, for those of you who joined late, there is no electronic submission at this time for data power, nor can you view your PMRs online. But it is something that we are, it is number one priority. I have somebody on my team, a service planner, who works for the larger support organization under the vice president, who is full-time working on getting this fixed, as well as my executive, my inline executive, my director, who is working very diligently to get this fixed for our customers. So once we have electronic submission, that will open up the gates to also allow us to have a level zero and a level one in-country. That's going to help, obviously, the worldwide team. You can open tickets in your own language. They will translate and send them up to us. There will be some fast pass things that they can knock off quickly. Any kind of hardware failure, that's the 5-minute diagnosis, we know exactly what it is. We can expedite those through level zero and level one. Again, as I mentioned, we're hoping to have a support presence in Asia Pacific fairly soon. We are looking to expand right now, we only have full unit replacements for defective devices. We are hoping soon to have component level replacements where if a part that's easily accessible to a customer needs to be replaced, we can send you the part instead of a full device. And of course, always more red books and papers. Okay, moving on to slide 11. I want everybody to know that the IBM standard is a very satisfied customer. Satisfied is not good enough. You must be very satisfied. Once you close a PMR, you will, on a random basis, could be assigned to take a survey. My guys, it's part of their yearly evaluations. We record and average out their survey results. They're numerically coded. Our numeric goal is, again, to be at the very satisfied level. So I urge you all to fill out those surveys and also to let me know personally. You have my email address, again, on slide, I believe it's 4, if you've had either a great experience or a not-so-great experience. Reach out to me and let me know and give me feedback on the team so that we can continue to work to make the team a very successful team. So at this time, I'd like to turn it back over to Elijah, and I believe he has a few things he needs for you to do.
Thank you, Robin, for a great presentation.
And we'll take a question from Suzanne Mahoney.
Hi, Robin. I had a question from the very beginning of your presentation where you talked about doing testing to figure out if you had a situation where the hardware could be replaced. How do you perform that test? You said it could take up to 24 hours.
Yeah, so it's actually a more like a series of problem determination. So the first ones are pretty simple. Depending on the problem that we're seeing, the first ones actually usually involve removing the device. So, it's all a process of elimination. Removing the device from the network, because we have seen many, many times, I think we're up to something like 25% of some of our reported hardware problems have actually been problems with the actual network that's being plugged into the device. So unplugging the network to see if that if the box continues to reboot after that happens, it's steps like that. Depending on the behavior that we're seeing, we have these small little steps to go through. Once we get to a point where we've eliminated a lot of what I like to call the low-hanging fruit of hardware problems, then we start to focus on, rather than sort of debugging it from the hardware level. So there's, turning it off and turning it on and seeing the lights and doing some readouts and unplugging it, plugging it in, move serial cable things. Once we go through that physical piece of it, the next step is what I would refer to as the elimination of firmware as the culprit. So the first step we do is sort of eliminating environmental issues. And then the next step we do is actually focusing more on the firmware. So, at that point we almost go to the assumption, if it's not an obvious hardware problem, we move to the assumption that it will probably be a firmware problem, as 98% of them are. And so in that case, what we'll start to do is, take logs, take error messages, have you put in certain commands, see what comes out. And at that point, it's a process of elimination of, can we eliminate firmware as an issue? And that's where it's really going to depend on the kind of error message that you're seeing and the behavior that the device is having.
Okay.
And I will tell you, I say 24 hours. I don't want anybody to think that 24 hours is the magic number, and if we and we can always sort of figure out what's going on within that 24-hour period. What happens is at the end of 24 hours, if we're not really able to narrow it down exactly to what we think is going on, we will do a hardware replacement. And again, that's just like, everything else I've talked to up to that point. It is another variable. So at that point, if we've gotten to 24 hours, and I can tell you that it happens very, very rarely that we go that long. When it does go out to 24 hours and we still have not been able to absolutely pinpoint the problem, we will do a hardware replacement, again, as part of the problem determination to replace out that hardware and eliminate hardware as a variable. So if you get the new device and you don't have the problem, then we know for a fact it was part of the hardware, or even it could have been in the firmware, but now you've got a device with a different level of firmware. I will tell you that most of the devices that come back to us, when we do the failure analysis, we wind up not being able to reproduce the problem, which means that there's something anomalous in your environment, the way your environment is interacting with either the firmware or the hardware, and sometimes just swapping out that device clears that up.
So that would all be directed by the engineer with an email exchange in terms of the steps that you go through?
Absolutely. And I have what's called, again, going back to one team supporting this whole thing, I have what's called a hardware pod, P-O-D, and that is a small subset of my engineers who have, in addition to supporting everything, have volunteered to focus on hardware issues. And so you will be working with one of those four people if you are, in fact, suspecting a hardware problem.
Okay, thanks.
Sure, thank you. I think we have time for one more question.
As a final reminder, it is star 1 to ask a question. And it does appear that at this point we have no further questions.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Robin, for presenting today.
Thank you. Thank you all, and we look forward to seeing you in support and having you be a very satisfied customer.